This is Getting Past Subtitles. My name is Sean Peel.
And I'm DK Lee.
And welcome to a new series. Welcome to a fresh start. If you're jumping into the channel for the first time, it's a good place to start.
Yep. You know, new series.
New series. We like to kind of pave the way on the new road. This is going to be a good one. This should be an interesting one. We're going to talk about love, romance. All the butterfly-y feeling things.
Yeah. The unrealistic.
The definitely happens in real life.
This might be more in line with the fantasy films. Yeah.
Yes, we are doing all romance films. We talked about the slate of films on the last episode, so go check that out. And at the end of this, we'll talk about that. But this week, we're kicking it off, and we watched...
The classic.
That's why I don't have it, the mic right there. Why do you think this movie was called The Classic, by the way? Like, the title really has nothing to relate to.
There's that one, like, throwaway line in the beginning when she's, like, reading the letters. And she's like, oh, this is so, like, cheesy.
Like, cliche.
She's like, and then she's like, oh, wait, I'll say it's like a classic, like a classic love story, like classic romance kind of thing. So I guess that's where they got the name from. Mm. But like, even when I was watching it, I felt like it was a lot of the romantic tropes that they play on in this movie. Like, it has everything.
It is a pinnacle of, like...
I feel like that's why they called it, like, the classic.
Well, that's why I didn't know if it was, like... Is this kind of just a nod to, like... Oh, I just made a very classical romance movie. You know, I'm just going to call it the classic? Or is it something that... Is something, like, rooted in the story a little bit? That's where I just wasn't too clear on.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily rooted in the story. But I think maybe the director kind of wanted to... do a romance that's very typical of and with the typical tropes of the romance genre, and I think that this movie definitely has heaps
and bounds
of those kinds of tropes in it. So
it's a trash pile of romance cliches for sure. So the person's talking about. The director is Jae-yong Kwak. This came out in 2003, so, you know, it's kind of an oldie, as expected of Lee's choice.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-2010.
Yes. Don't worry, the next one's going to be 2000-something, too. Early 2000s.
So I thought I didn't know much, but then after some digging... He did My Sassy Girl, apparently. And a lot of things kind of made sense once I put the dots together.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, yeah, this definitely feels like in the vein of that style, you know, if he has a style anyway. Like, it just feels like, okay, that's him. As particularly the comedy. Because that's one thing that I don't want to say, like, threw me way off in the movie, but it's just like, quirky, kind of goofy, weird comedy.
I feel like the way that he does his resolutions in the movie is very typical of, like, and kind of reminiscent of My Sassy Girl.
Right.
Especially that, like, that moment when the main protagonist and the female protagonist, like, meet together and they have their little dialogue thing. Like, for example, in this movie, it was when he comes back from Vietnam.
Yeah.
And they're in that, like, little restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
He, like, acts like he's not blind and, like, does that thing.
Right. That whole,
like, spiel. And, like, in My Sassy Girl, there's that moment when the main character, I forget his name, but he, like, is meeting. Yeah. He has a meeting. The girl has a meeting with another guy.
Yeah.
And then, like, while the guy goes to the bathroom, he, like, starts, like, telling him about, like, all the, like, things that she likes and she doesn't like and whatever. So that kind of, like, that kind of moment, I feel like he kind of puts in his movies a lot.
It's like a, in, well, at least like a surprise, kind of, or like a, I don't want to say like a twist, even though it kind of is like a twist.
Yeah, it is a twist, but yeah. It's kind of like that moment of like, oh, like they really love each other, kind of like
right.
That kind of thing.
Just like, it's like the emotional like romance twist part. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm here to like stick an emotion out.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right? That emotional almost climax.
Right, right.
Of the movie.
Yeah, that was definitely in that one. We could talk about that scene later too, yeah. In particular, but yeah, once I figured out it was him, I was like, oh yeah, this kind of makes more sense of like the choices wise when I was watching. I was like, oh okay, that seems like his thing. But other than that, he's done a few other things, but nothing that I really know of yet. But this movie was made right after A Sassy Girl, actually, too. So this was like literally right after.
Yep.
But yeah, so some notable names in the movie as well, I guess. In the past, anyway. I don't know if they're like, I haven't seen them around lately. There was only like one person that I recognized in this movie.
Who?
And that was the teacher.
Teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, the teacher?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him around a few times, but.
I mean, they're all really famous, though. Like all the characters in this movie. The actors in this movie.
I know you said the the lead who's played by Sonya Jing, she's gonna be in the next movie you watch, right?
So yeah,
Miss Romance herself.
Yes. The guy is famous as well. The guy in the past, he's a little older, but he's you know, he's known as a really good actor. And the younger guy in the present, he's also, he's like very famous because, you know, he's good looking and stuff like that.
Sure, but, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, one bin probably should have made one of those rules.
He's actually very, like, he's very private.
Yeah.
And so, like, even when he picks, like, movies, it's very sparse. Like, he hasn't done, like, a movie in a really long time. And
you got to send the script by, like, an owl.
And he has a very specific, like, he plays very specific roles, I feel like. I mean, like, there's, like, specific characters that he likes to play, you know?
Right, right.
And anyways, that's, like, anyway, totally off topic.
That was a different conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us about when you kind of first watched this, what your experience was like, why you decided to bring it back?
I don't remember when I first watched it, to be honest. But I do remember watching it sometime in the past. I mean, this movie is very famous because it's like very like a classic romance movie,
right.
Especially in Korea. And so it has a lot of cultural like meaning, like cultural significance in like Korean cultural, like especially in like the entertainment kind of you know, yeah, entertainment like culture.
Oh, sure.
Like, there's a lot of parodies of like the umbrella, like the umbrella,
the jacket
under the rain scene and stuff like that.
Right.
And the music is very like iconic. So, like, they use that as like a way of like parodying it as well.
How many times do we have to hear like the same classic song?
Oh,
like in a Korean film.
Well, I mean,
I'm tired of listening to like canon in D over and
well,
over.
That's because the director specifically uses it.
All right.
Even in My Sassy Girl, it's the same.
But we saw like secret, like
same piano
like,
piece.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen a few, like if there's romance in it, there's some kind of like random classical piece.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be always, I feel like classical music is like
the cliche.
Yeah. So it'll always be there somehow. But what was my...
Where are you going with that?
Yeah, what was I talking about? Yeah, like, oh, so first when I first watched it, yeah. I don't really remember when I first watched it, but it does have a very significant cultural, like, you know...
Yeah.
There's a big cultural significance, this movie. So, yeah, it's just in the like, cultural, like, you know, mind.
Right. So safe to say, like, everybody in your family has seen it.
Probably, but that's the reason why I picked it, just because sure. It's like
most likely everybody's seen this.
Yeah, it's just like a very, like, iconic romance movie. If like this movie would probably be representative of like the early 2000s. And then there's like another movie called Architecture 101, I think, or Intro to Architecture 101. Mm-hmm. It's another Korean movie, but that's like I think in the 2010s era.
Okay.
And that's like representative of the romance movies of the 2010s.
The new era?
Yeah, the new era.
The new generation of romance.
Yeah, so the 2010 generation of romance would be that movie as a representative. And I feel like this movie probably would be, this movie or My Sassy Girl would be representative of like the early 2000s.
Yeah. I mean, like watching this movie, it feels like sort of every other movie that was made in this time era in Korea. Like, I mean, it shares a lot of similarities with My Sassy Girl. Even like Taegukki, like they all have like a very similar like
vibe
to them, right? Yeah. And it just does feel like kind of the era piece. And also even just like the setting and the time that they were made kind of feels like they're all made around the same time a little bit, right?
Yeah.
It's either like, it's usually kind of both where it's like modern early 2000s and then like in the past, like, you know, 60s or 70s or wherever that kind of time period is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they all kind of deal with that, so it all kind of feels the same. And they all have like a weird like fantasy like feel to them.
Yeah,
right, like you said, almost
magical-ish.
Like a fairy tale.
Yeah, like a fairy tale. Yeah.
Like it's being told in that sort of,
in that vein.
Yeah, exactly. And this one is definitely no stranger to that.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I mean, this is my first time watching it. I did see My Sassy Girl a few times that I talked about in the past, but I hadn't seen this one. And, you know, it's like, it's just okay, I guess, for me. it's mid, is how we say. Like it's just flat good. Like, it's entertaining, really. I don't think any more or anything less. It's not like a teary-eyed romance or drama, right? I think it definitely tries to overextend some scenes into doing that, and it just depends on, like, you, if that works on you or not. But, like we talked about, the movie just is so much bringing out the cliches and is so much, like, in that sort of genre that it's easy to predict the movie and easy to kind of, like, oh, it's just playing this by the book, so it doesn't really work when it's trying to, I guess, reach out more for me, if that makes any sense. You know what I mean? It's like, once you understand the genre and the cliches, then I'm just like not fazed by anything else after that.
Yeah.
Right. But not to say that that's necessarily a negative thing, but like I said, it's entertaining. Like it's kind of doing what it's doing, and it's doing it fine, essentially. Mm. So it's a good movie, but it's not like groundbreaking or anything.
Yeah,
but I can kind of see, like I said, like everything I talked before, it definitely just feels like, oh yeah, this is definitely the romance of this kind of era and place and time.
Mm.
But so it is your week.
Yeah,
we have this Bible that you showed me earlier.
Bible. Yeah. So I will go over the synopsis for today. It's a little long, but I'll try my best to make it quick.
It's kind of convoluted. It's not that convoluted, Lee. Come on.
So the classic is a movie. So in the present day, Jie stumbles upon a box of letters and a diary of her mother. And she reads them. And as she reads them, we go back into the past and relive the mother's story. So the movie goes between the past and the present and interweaves the stories of both the mother and the daughter. And the mother's name is Juhee. And in the past, Juhee, she visits the countryside where she meets a boy named Junha. And they find out they're both from the same town and they're visiting the countryside. And Juhee asks Junha if, you know, if he's ever been to a haunted house that's nearby.
Yeah.
And so she asks him to take her there by boat and down the river. And so they both go and they have fun and they, you know, kind of, you know, get to know each other, get closer. And while they're returning back, she sprains her ankle.
Yeah.
And so they kind of stay at a little resting place for a little bit. And then they go back by boat, but it's like nighttime now, and her parents are like mad at him, right, or furious because of, you know, her being hurt, but also like her being out for so long, and her going to the haunted house where she's not supposed to be. And so because of that, Junha kind of gets, you know, kind of gets the brunt of it. And but before she leaves, she gives him a necklace. And so Junha keeps the necklace. And then after that, Junha comes back from the countryside, back to the town. It's called Suwon, I think. And he is a good writer. So a lot of it, a lot of his friends kind of ask him to write letters, like love letters for people, right? Because back then, you know, they used to exchange a lot of letters. And so one of his friends named Tesu is in an arranged like relationship with this girl. And Junha asked to, he asked Junha to write a letter for him to send to the girl. And Tesu reveals to him that it's actually Juhi, who is, her parents are like congressmen, they're like officials in the government. So she's kind of, you know, very protected.
A politics child.
And Tesu, that's why Tesu is like being arranged to marry her eventually. And so Junha, seeing the picture of her, he still agrees to, you know, to write the letters. And so he starts exchanging letters with Juhi. And later on, Tesu introduces Junha to Juhi at a gathering. Like a, you know, like they used to like...
It's like a school presentation, like a, right?
Yeah, school presentation. But also like there was like a blind date that they went on, kind of.
Oh, like it was a, like a dance.
Two-on-two, like, yeah, dance kind of date that they went on. And so Tesu brought him there as well. And so once Tesu... once Junha and Juhi meet once again in the city or in the town, they kind of fall in love with each other, and they kind of meet secretly behind Tesu's back, and also, you know, hiding from their parents. And while that's happening in the present day, Jihe, the daughter of Juhi, she also falls in love with a guy named Sangmin, who is part of the theater club. And her friend Sugyeong is very like outgoing and very like pushy,
right?
And she's she like joins the club, theater club, and she tries to like get with Sangmin because he's like the popular like theater guy who's good looking and stuff. And so like, you know, Jihe tries to, you know, she just like tags along,
right?
You know, for everything. But
she's
one
playing third wheel.
Yeah, she's playing third wheel. And one day, Jihe forgets her umbrella and she's stuck under a tree. And Sangmin, like, just comes out of nowhere and offers to take her to the library where she was trying to go. And so they both go together to the library, and kind of Jihe, you know, has like butterflies in her stomach and all that. And
typical romance stuff, you know.
Right. It's that like moment of like, does he like me? Does he not?
Like we had that moment together.
Yeah. And so back, we go back in the past, and Junha is traumatized by his best friend's attempted suicide.
Yeah.
When the father finds out that Junha has been secretly exchanging letters in the name of Tesu.
Yeah.
Between Juhi. And then the father's like, bro, what are you doing?
I thought you were supposed to marry her.
You need to get married to her so that I can get more power, right?
But dad.
Right. And so because of that, Tesu was about to suicide so that, you know, Juhi and Junha can be together. So after being traumatized by that, Junha decides to disappear from Tesu and Juhi's life. And so before he leaves the necklace behind. And he enlists in the army, and he is sent to Vietnam. And right before he was about to go to Vietnam, Chui like finds him on the train, and she gives him back the necklace. And Junha takes the necklace, and he in Vietnam he almost loses it, and he like goes to find the necklace again. And while he's coming back, he basically loses his eyesight.
Yeah,
and after that, he comes back from the war, and he meets Chuhi again. But because he's blind, he didn't want to tell Chuhi that, you know, he's blind, or he wants her to live happily ever after without thinking about him anymore. So he acts like he's married, and that, you know, he's, you know, he's moved on from her. And after hearing that Chuhi marries Tesu,
yeah,
and they, you know, they marry, and then and then after that Chunha gets married on his own. It's like a backstory, I guess.
Yeah.
And then later on, we find out that Chunha passes away. He dies, and his last wish was that Chuhi would take his ashes and throw it in the river where they first met.
Right.
And so that's how basically the past story ends. And then back in the present, Chie finds out that Sangmin wasn't there under the tree by accident. He was actually watching her at this shop nearby, and seeing that it was raining, he actually had an umbrella, but then he decided to you know, leave the umbrella at the shop and then go to the tree to, you know, do the moment to be with Chie and act like he didn't have an umbrella as well, so that he could kind of, you know, get with her. And Chie finds this out, and after finding out, she and Sangmin, they kind of confirm their love for each other, and Chie suggests that they go on a date to the river where they first met, where her mother first met, her lover or whatever. And she starts telling Sangmin about the story about Chuhi's love story, and there Sangmin reveals a necklace that he always had, and it is the necklace that Chunha had, revealing that Sangmin was Chunha's son, and that Chuhi and Jihe and Sangmin are the descendants of Chunha and Chuhi, and that their love is finally manifest through their children.
Question mark.
And that's basically how the story ends.
Yes.
Very weird.
Not weird at all. Totally normal. Yeah.
Why don't we talk about that? What do you think about that?
The ending?
That kind of story.
I mean, like, I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Like, for one.
Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure, fine. But it's like,
let me ask you, like, do you find that romantic?
It's not really.
I feel like it's kind of creepy. You know,
it's like just weird. Like over the top, like fairy tale and quality.
It, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I understand it's playing on the idea of fate, right?
Right,
and like, you know, they're meant to love each other, and you know, through their bloodline, they all come together.
It sounds like some like weird vampire story. Yeah, like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, it feels very,
not like, it's just played so like it, this is fine. Like, this is natural, but it's like not really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in some ways, it feels like it's like so, like fatefully like matched together, like it almost feels forced.
It's too tied together.
Linked together. and it gives that weird vibe, because for me, like, especially for the Sangmin character, I feel like we get no like backstory on who he is.
That guy's a nobody,
and he just like at the end he just pops
the necklace,
bro. I got it, you know.
Yeah.
And so it has that.
It's like such an easy gimme, right?
Yeah, it just kind of has that feeling of like it's just a gimmick, at the end.
Yeah. It's like, and oh, so, of course, right, sure.
And so that kind of, you know, threw me for a loop, I think, for this movie.
Do you think that, like, if we cut out like the present story and we were just left with like the past of the mom, so Jihe's story, like, would all be well? You think that would have worked?
It would. I think in principle, but I think in terms of a story, I feel like it might lack a little. If they fleshed out the story of the past and then they just made that the story, I think it would work.
Right.
But what we have right now, it's a little like.
Sure.
I think they need to add a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I definitely like the past story more than the present story.
Right.
And. This is a thing, right? This is something that I kind of thought about while watching this movie. It kind of reminded me of the other movie that we watched called Ditto. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where it was the radio and then the girl, I think her name was Sohun, and Jin was the guy from the present, and then Sohun was a girl from the past.
Yeah.
And they start having that like conversation together.
The radios.
And they try to like, you know, talk about like their love. That they had, and then later on, remember, like at the end, the guy figures out that it was his father, and then the girl whose Hoon likes is actually his father. Mm. You remember that?
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me of that, like that like bloodline, like relation kind of thing that kind of makes it all weird.
Oh, yeah. Like he went back to the school that she was at.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like met her in
the wait, future. He goes back to his old home and he looks at the pictures and he realizes that the Sohun was his father, like, and they know they knew each other.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, from hearing what she said, he realizes that Sohun liked his father, but then they never got together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it kind of feels like that, but in reverse in this movie.
Right.
And I'm kind of wondering, like...
There it's fine, because, like, they don't get together.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's a misconnection. Right, right. It ended up being, like, a misconnection kind of thing, but, like, it worked out because there was, like, a far enough...
No, but what I'm saying is, like, I feel like he tried to do that with this movie, but
like,
reverse.
Opposite. Yeah. Where it's like, no, they actually get together.
And so I'm like, did he watch that movie? He's trying to, like, change it up a bit, right?
He's like, that was such a good idea.
But, yeah, like, it's weird, I feel like, for this movie. Like it's not that it doesn't work, but I feel like because it's so... outlandish in the way that it presents itself, like the fantasy of it.
Uh-huh.
It kind of takes away from the romance of it.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
You know,
it feels more like it's going for, I don't know, like shock value versus than like
just like pure like
romance.
Like, yeah. Because like I never really felt like that like crazy connection between Sangmin and Jihye.
Mm. Exactly.
Right. Like, there's never really that moment where, like, you kind of feel like they really like each other.
Right.
There's, like, just, like,
I mean, it's like
little bits and pieces of it.
Right. Because we get so little of their time.
Yeah.
And, like, there are those moments, like we talk about, like, him. Like, I mean, that is the moment, right?
That's the moment. Scene. And then there's also, like, the little moments with the present, like, the two present.
Yeah. But all that's, like, underhand a little bit. Like, that's kind of.
Exactly.
You're supposed to kind of work to realize it, I guess.
Right.
But,
he is trying to show his, you know, affection towards her through that.
Yeah.
But, like, because it's not, like, literally, we're not literally seeing him, right? It's just, like, this moment where she reflects on the present and she wonders about it. It's not necessarily, like, us seeing these two characters, like, falling in love on the screen. So I think the impact of it is a lot less...
Yeah, because it's all supposed to work for, like, the ending. Like, it's... Because they don't even know... Well, like, she's doubting that... Well, she likes him, but then she doubts that he even likes her back.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole time she thinks that Sunbeam likes her friend. But then, like, the whole payoff, like, event is supposed to be at the end when she finishes the story and then, like, oh, like, we're fated to be loved.
Yeah.
And then, like, they're kind of together or whatever. But, like, it's, like, none of that... It's just, like, there's so much focus on the past story... There's not enough of, like, the present story that, there, like I said, there is not really investment from, like, me or, like, an audience for Sangmin or Jinhae or Jihye at all, really.
It's
and even, like, I don't know, like, there is no chemistry between them. Anyway. Like, it's, like you said, there is no, like, actual moments that they're looking at each other in the eye. Or
they,
like,
really share something.
Yeah, it's all just, like,
Whereas in the past, at least there's like a lot of moments between the two characters.
Right.
Like the dancing scene, or even like in the rain, or even in the beginning when they, you know, with the firefly and stuff like that. Like there's plenty of moments like that.
Right.
Like the present stuff just feels like it's piggybacking off of all of that.
Pretty much, yeah.
It is. It is literally doing that. And it just kind of feels weak.
Yeah. It's just weird that like it is a proxy for the romance that we should have gotten in the past.
Yeah.
And instead it's like, oh no, but it's the tie-in to like...
But it just feels like a weaker version of it.
Yeah.
A much weaker version of it.
Because it's like, they're two different people at the end of the day. Mm. And it's like, we don't really care about them though. Yeah. So I see what you're doing, but at the same time, meh, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So I don't know. But... What about Song Yi-jin playing both characters between her mother?
I didn't mind it.
It worked.
Yeah, I think it worked.
I thought it was funny. I missed my opportunity. I was going to make a joke. I was going to be like, man, your daughter looks so much like your daughter. It's like so uncanny. Isn't
the mother,
weird?
You mean?
The mother?
Yeah, there's that moment at the end when the guy who delivers the mail, he's like, hey, are you Chewy?
She's like, no. I get that a lot.
Yeah.
We should have just gotten Jun Ho to play the younger version, his son.
Oh, right?
That would have been weird.
Well, they probably didn't do that because,
That would have been too much.
Too much, yeah. That would have been just too much.
Now we're into some like weird multiverse thing.
Reincarnation stuff. Like, come back alive.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was funny. I thought it was a good job, though. But it was just kind of funny to see, like, oh, yeah, of course she's going to come back and play the mom.
Yeah.
No big deal. Just change the guy's face. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I guess at the end of the day, it's, like, all the payoff stuff at the end just doesn't, like, seep through 100%, I guess. And I think that's, like, maybe the major problem that I had with the movie. Where it's, like... I don't know, like everything is kind of cliche, everything kind of works, but then, like, at the end of it all, it's like, fine.
Whatever. Yeah.
That way. We could talk about, like, just some of the stuff in the middle. Like, we talked about the movie's kind of convoluted, where that it is in a lot of places in different times. Like, we get that it's, like, a flashbacky backstory kind of thing that it's going for, but we do spend a lot of time mostly in the flashbacks in the past. But like, I mean, there's kind of a good flow in like time anyway. Like we go back between, like, I guess they're in high school in the beginning, then they end up like as adults at the very end, and there's like a very brief period of like them in college when he enlists in the army,
right?
And I guess like some years pass when he post injury and stuff like that. But it is a little convoluted in, like, the, like, political romantic drama of it all, I guess.
What do you mean, political romantic?
Like, well, I guess, like, she's a sheltered, like, daughter. The reason why they can't be together is, like, because of that, essentially.
Mm.
There's, like, the whole thing with
Tezu.
Tezu's a weird guy, too.
Yeah, he's a very weird guy.
What an interesting character.
Yeah.
He's kind of, like... whatever.
Yeah, the thing about Tezu's character, I feel like, is he's basically just a yes man, or like just whatever like the situation needs him to be, he is, you know?
Yeah, he just gets like walked all over for everything.
And so I don't know, it doesn't really make for a very like interesting character, I think. Just like in terms of like he's like, oh yeah, my friend is like dating the girl that I like now. It's like, sure, I'll.
But we put so much like pressure on like avoiding that at the same time, you know? We're like, Jun Ho and Jihei are like obviously in this like forbidden romance or whatever, and they're like having their moments, but then like, oh, we can't do this together because I'm in this, you know, whatever relationship with Tesu, and like I'm supposed to like arrange marriage. And you're like, oh, but it'll be fine, and then, but like they're like doing that like drama part, And then they're like trying to tiptoe like around Tae-su.
Yeah.
But then when he finds out, it's like, ah.
It's like all of that, whatever. Too. Even like the writing the letter stuff, she's just kind of like brushes it off. It's like, oh, that's you, silly. Oh, you, of course it was you. Like, yeah. Like, oh, what? You know, those things kind of, you know, fall a little. I don't know. The payoff is like kind of.
Yeah, yeah. There's supposed to be like some kind of tension there, but then. Uh-huh. Like when it's
it fizzles out, like, yeah, yeah, it all just fizzles out.
Right, right. Instead, it goes into like a weirdly dark place with Tae-su. It's like, oh, I've just been abused all my life.
And yeah, I mean, that part I can kind of get, but it's just like everything else just like it's just thrown out the window and then they just go to that. So it's really, you know, I mean, they did it obviously as a mechanism so that, you know, Juna kind of faces a cliff and right. He just decides to leave.
No, I can't be with any of you.
But yeah, it just kind of feels like cliche. That's why, you know,
right.
Those kind of things make it kind of feel like, oh yeah, I can't be with you anymore. I gotta leave. And then like,
without any like real,
yeah,
like, I think that's the problem. It's like, it's doing those things, but without any like real reason or like real tension behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, it's just actually there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's nothing, like, driving it, I feel like.
Or nothing, like strong enough driving it, right?
Right.
There's something, but it's like, eh.
But it's like, you could work around it.
I mean, to be fair, like, the suicide thing is a strong enough, like,
sure,
thing
yeah.
for him to decide to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But it just feels like all the other stuff kind of like they were like, okay, we're done with this now, and then things moves on to that.
Right. How'd you feel about like the whole war bit? So that was
the worst part.
That was funny to me because I go, all right, we're in romance land and all of a sudden I'm watching Taeguki. Like, what happened?
Yeah, it was bad. I think up to the suicide part, I think was okay. And then everything after that kind of was like the war stuff, the blind stuff, the future stuff,
like the war
present stuff.
Like that was, it was kind of long. Like it was a little longer than I thought it was. I was like, okay, fine. That like after the suicide, like that breaks them up, which is okay, fine. And then like, then it goes, then we're in the present for a little while. And then we go back to the past, like some years have passed. And then that's when she's like, Juhi's like, oh, I know the rest of the story from here. Like, I didn't have to like read the letters, essentially. So it's kind of like she's telling it as she knows it. And then it turns out that Tae-su's like, okay, you know, whatever. And then they all kind of reunite. And then like, oh no, Juno is going to go into the army and then like, whatever. But then they spend like a little while he's fighting in there. And it's like, this whole thing with the necklace part scene. And it's like, it's just like a really long scene just to dramatize him getting injured, basically.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the biggest issue. And then like really what shot me in the foot was, okay, like some years have passed that they didn't talk. And then now they're adults. And then he like meets her and all of a sudden he's blind. And it's like, what? It's like, but why is he blind?
I mean, he got exploded.
Yeah, but come on, like,
what do you mean, come on?
Gonna pick something up like that. It just felt way left field for me.
He got blown up. What do you mean?
Felt like
he lost his eyesight.
You could have done the whole scene with them being dramatically injured and just been like, the whole point was like for her to live happily ever after. Like, don't worry about me. Like, you could have done that without you.
Well, it's randomly more dramatic if he's blind.
Yeah. Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. It's like dramatizing and like pulling the rug for like shock's sake and
exactly.
Shock's sake only.
What did you want? That's what you get from a romance melodrama, man.
God dang this person who wrote this. Quack.
But like the movie feels like it's reverse engineered to come to the finishing, like the end point. You know what I mean? Like
that came first.
Yeah, exactly. Then, like I think he was kind of like, oh, how can I make it so that the children of these people can fall in love? And
then
he kind of started reverse engineering, like, okay, so
it
like,
starts
this
with...
will happen and then that will happen. And then he kind of like reverse engineered it to make sure that it it goes that way, which like in theory, I don't think it's like a bad thing, but I feel like when he did it in practice, it just kind of feels a little too forced. Sure. And everything feels like somebody is like playing the puppeteer and like moving all the things and just making sure everything works.
Yeah.
Rather than it feeling like a natural progression of some story.
Right.
You know?
Like an organic flow, basically.
Yeah.
Like that makes a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, that's kind of what happens. So you can feel just like, okay, I've got like this point and this plot point, and like from here I gotta go to like from B I gotta go to C. Like how
like for me the most like like glaring thing that happened that felt like that was like the necklace. Like it's like, okay, now I gotta give the necklace to you, and then you gotta give it back to me, and now and I gotta give it back to you, and then Sangmin has to have it.
And he's the son, so that's right. The twist.
Yeah. It just felt a little too like on the nose. Like sure, the necklace thing is like, ta-da!
Of course,
we're meant to be together. Imagine they break up because they're like in college. Like imagine like they're just like, I don't like you anymore.
That's for the epilogue. That's for the after story.
Exactly. It's like, oh, maybe the fate thing wasn't that big of a deal.
That's a. They were fated to never be in love, actually. So yeah. It just didn't work out.
It's just funny the notion that, like, your children... Like, the funny thing is, like, it feels like the children don't have any autonomy. You know what I mean?
Right,
they're, like,
right.
Bound to the fate of their parents.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, it's like, what if I just like a different dude? You know, like is it... Am I not allowed to, like somebody else? You know?
Right, right.
Like, it feels so, like... bound by the rule of fate.
There was no other human being.
You can't be with anybody else, you know? Like, it had to be him.
Just that guy.
Maybe that's the thing that doesn't really resonate with me in this for this movie.
Right.
Which is why, you know, like, it is a romance movie, but for me, it was kind of like, huh?
It's all foretold without me having
emotionally, I can see, like, okay, yeah. But, like... logically thinking about it, like in the real world, it's like
no, yeah,
it's just so out, like
yeah, it just works,
it's so
from, like,
nonsensical, you know.
It just works from like it's like a neat story. It just works for a story perspective, like like, oh, like it's all fate, like, oh, like again, like the fairy tale quality, like it all works from a
yeah,
just like making a nice like story kind of romance factor to it, but don't look any deeply into that, I guess, you know, and that's pretty much about it. Yeah, I'm like thinking about the other, like in the present, the friend, Sungkwang, right?
Sugyeong.
It's like, there's like that whole thing that he probably likes her and that like he's trying to go after her, and then the tables turn by the end, and then the scene where like he slaps her, where she slaps him and then he slaps her back, and they're like, it's an applause. It's so fucked up. Like only in a movie. Like that was pinnacle. Like that only in a movie.
that's like his My Sassy Girl coming out.
Yeah,
that's his My Sassy Girl comedy coming out.
100%.
But the funny thing about that too is like, you can tell. He has no care for Sugyeong at all. Like there's not even like a sense that he likes her. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she like is clinging on to him, but like you can tell he doesn't give a rat's ass about it.
At that point, he's like, no. Yeah. What didn't really resonate with me was like, I mean, like it's all kind of easy to guess that, you know, they're going to get together by the end, and that, obviously, that she likes him and that maybe he likes her or whatever, but it's not explicitly clear. But then after, like, the beginning route was, like, he left the umbrella in the store and that he was like, I noticed you, and then I had that magical moment that happened or whatever. And then when she realizes, she runs through the rain, like, all dramatic, and delivers him the umbrella. And then that's when he confesses, he was like, oh, I didn't want to tell you, like, directly. I wanted to, like, you know, be able to show you. I thought it would work if I wouldn't. It was, like, this whole, like, spiel, but, like, I don't know. I just didn't, like, I was like, is that your reasoning the whole time? Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah.
I wanted the letter to reach you.
And even the present thing is like, oh, I bought two presents because I didn't want to, like, you know, be obvious or whatever.
But it was like, even in that was complex for no reason, right?
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, I bought you two present for, like, because we were hanging, literally because we were just hanging out today. And he, like, shakes the box, like, take this one, essentially. And then she takes it, and then that was supposed to trigger the friend to be like
swapping.
Yeah. And then coming back and like, taking her box.
It was like, he's like, oh, if it's fate, then you'll get the right box. Like, it's like, okay.
But it was like, that's like tying, like I knew that you were going to be jealous of her from taking the box. Yeah. So I like baited you with like, it's complicated for no reason.
So
like,
convoluted.
You know?
They're like, yo, I'm like playing 4D chess right now.
Exactly. We're adding like layers for what?
Yeah.
And then by the end, she's like, that letter wasn't even for me.
And then the letter is supposed to be the same letter that Chuna wrote before.
Right.
And stuff like that. Some things that I did like. I liked the repetition of the theme. In the movie, like it in the actual scenes, and then it actually comes out in the soundtrack. Like for example, like that main the main theme that they play when the two people are in the rain when they're under the tree.
That's the same thing that's played like OST 10 times.
Yeah, that is like repeated in the movie. Like the violinists play it. And like I think when they're in the dance, they play it for a little bit too. So like that repetition of it, and then it like climaxing into this like moment at the under the tree moment, I think is pretty good way of like building up to it with sound, like with music. So I like that. I like the foreshadowing of like when in the very beginning when Sangmin, when like the shop owner and Jie are like kind of like mingling and like whispering about Sangmin. He's like eating ramen, right?
Oh, yeah.
and then like it's raining outside and like he has an umbrella.
Right.
Like at that moment he has that black umbrella and like he actually uses it.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a foreshadowing of like later on when he like leaves the black umbrella. So that was kind of cool.
The umbrella is special to me because Sangmin gave it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, and she's like way too old.
Yo, she's like not even in the age group at all. But she's like hanging out with them like she's a fellow college student.
Yeah, but those are some things that I think I liked in the movie that they kind of were mindful of, which I liked.
Yeah, I mean everything was like I guess you have to give credit, like everything was done purposely and ended up working as far as like tying knots and like.
Yeah,
everything kind of coming full circle.
Yeah,
with like there wasn't a stone left unturned, you could say.
Yeah,
right. I really liked. I think my favorite part or aspect was the just like the subtle scene, and I guess it was foreshadowing, but like at that point it was like, well, duh, was when like they're all Juhi and something they're like already on that date on the park and like she's telling the story but not to him yet, and I think it was like right after she was like, I know the story from here part, and that's when we found out that Tesu was like, he's like fine now, and then she like they do like the with the hair bit,
oh yeah
and then like she does it and then like it goes back and he does it.
Yeah, it's and like he and she does that in the very beginning of the movie too.
Right, right.
So it's kind of a callback to that.
Mm-hmm. And that's like, oh, you're the daughter of that guy for sure.
Yeah.
So that was like a really nice little touch.
And then later on, they show the wedding like photo, and they're like, okay, they are
really. Yeah. If you didn't get it by now,
Get it by now, we'll show you the picture.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Here's your proof. They did that like at that very end, like even after she was born, like when she was a child already.
Yeah,
that was funny.
I like the art gallery scene when it's kind of like that tracking shot.
Oh yeah, and then, they come and they're like posing in the statues.
And then they keep like, you know, like they they swipe with like an art piece.
Yeah.
And then you see the Sugyeong and Sangmin in the back, like doing like poses and all that. And at the end, there's like that little kid who's like thinking. and then the teacher gets.
Yeah. What do you guys call that again?
Dongchim.
Dongchim. That's yeah. what it is. I forget what we call it. We have a different name for it in the Japanese.
Yeah.
In Naruto, it's 1,000 Years of Death.
Remember? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of scenes in the movie that's very like they're funny and they're like interesting.
Yeah. But that's like his comedy. That's what I was saying earlier. Yeah. Like that's like his like just comedy kind of coming out. Mm. And it happens a lot. Like
there's a lot of that.
I mean, especially with like Taisa, like all of his bits are weird and quirky like that. Like he comes in, he's got like the reverse mohawk thing going on for no explanation at all, and then like he shaves his head and then it grows back and then he shaves his head again and then he does like
even like the haunted house scene doing a lot
the whole like the whole manure scene
the manure scene
this like random like theme of shit
like the scene when like they have to go collect like poop for like checkup
and they all split
and
to go find somewhere to poop. Oh my god. It's like, it's dumb funny. It's like, why? Like that and the obsession with like men's ass cheeks. Like there's so many like guys' bare butts in this movie.
Yeah.
What's not to like about this movie, I guess. Nahi too.
Oh, dude. She's so annoying. Like, why is it that they made all the side characters so, like, obnoxious and annoying?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, good job, but, like, it's just so, like, they're just so, like, hateable.
They sell it too hard.
They're, like, it's just, like, they, like, really push the main character to be likable just because of the fact that the side characters are, like, totally annoying.
Right.
It's like, yeah, of course, who would not like the main character if you're comparing them to this character?
Nahi, yeah, like, get out of here. I'm glad you're already there for 5 minutes.
It's a little too caricaturish, I feel like, you know, like the characters.
Right.
Even Sugyeong, even Nahi, you know, they're all like, even Taisa. Taisa feels like, it's like the silly
best friend.
Silly, like, yeah, but he just acts like a bum too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, pinnacle airhead.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it like Taisa is an interesting bit because he's the best friend for the main character, and it's obviously like we're doing the forbidden like love thing, right? And typically, like the best friend would be maybe a little more straight. Like Taisa would probably be a little more straight, and that there would be like this whole friendship falling out part or some kind of like tension going on, or like, you know, like they try doing the fight scene bit, like that's there. Like, it's all, like, on its head, because Taisa is such a passive character, right? Like, it all doesn't work typically as you would think, because Taisa is just, like, this huge bum airhead person, right? Which I guess is, like, neat in itself, that it's, okay, now we're doing something new, but I don't know, just for the fact that he's, like, so passive.
Yeah, I just feel bad for him though. It's like it's like he just marries a girl that doesn't even love him,
and he knows it.
And he, no, that's what I'm saying. He knows it, and he and like it's just like, what about, hey man, doesn't he get a love story? It's kind of messed up, you know.
He's such a device. Like, yeah, he's
I mean, all of the side characters really feel that way, you know. It's like other movies. You kind of feel like side characters have their own lives as well.
Right.
But in this movie, it's just like they're literally just there to be a foil for the main characters or like, you know.
Yeah. They're not really driving anything for themselves.
Mm.
Yeah. Even like, I mean, they kind of try doing it with Taisa a little bit because he's, you know, he's like, oh, I'm not the type of guy to like just one girl.
Yeah.
He keeps saying that. But then he's like, oh, but I really like this girl. But there's no, like, it's just words. He never
flirts with another girl. I like Chuhi.
I thought, that's why I thought, like, are they going to do something with him and Nahi when that happened?
Yeah.
Because, like, they're both, like, airheads. You know, they're both kind of silly in that way.
But it's like, at the end of the day, he's like, no, I just like Chuhi.
Yeah, just And then what was the point of the freaking, like, him fainting on the ground
thing? I think it was just, like, to be funny.
Like that didn't, if that was there for comedy, it did not. So I was genuinely, because I was like, is this guy, like...
Have cancer?
Yeah, yeah. Is there, like, a brain tumor going?
Yeah, he has some kind of, you know,
like, some kind of, he keeps having this weird syncope going on, and I'm like, I need an explanation. And then, like, he commits suicide. I'm like, oh, that's tragic. But that isn't the reason why, like, you're... Fainting, that was just retarded. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what's funny is, like, literally the second I saw Nahi on screen, I was like, she's definitely, like, a klutz. And then the next shot is her, like, bumping into the student in the dance circle and, like, not having a place to sit. And I was like, I nailed that.
Well, you see her in the very beginning in the countryside, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah, kind of, like, standing in the back. That's right. That's right.
Anyways.
I forgot about that. What else? Something else that I found weird was the, they have, like, this thing, Juno, like, meets her outside of her house, right? And, like, there's this whole thing with, like, the light lamppost.
Mm.
Why is there a light switch on a street lamppost?
I think it's like, her house light, like, lamppost thing, but...
That's a thing?
Guess so.
You guys have those?
I don't know. Question I'm not mark. In Korea. This is not Korea.
If you're in Korea, is that a legit thing?
Maybe.
Do you own a light post, like, outside of your house? I don't have that.
You're not in Korea.
This is true. I live in a cul-de-sac. I don't live on a main road either.
Yeah. Overall, I think the movie, it has a lot of issues, I think, in terms of just... I never felt like it was, like, really.
Did it break immersion?
The thing is, like, you know, we're like, you know, these are under the genre of romance. I just feel like for me, it doesn't really captivate that, like, emotion of, like, that romance emotion.
Right.
At least for me. Mm-hmm. But I mean. In Korea, it did well, so I mean, it must have been doing.
They don't agree
right.
with you,
but it might also be because of, you know, where I am at, just like in terms of, like,
sure.
who I am,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
just like personality wise.
Are you saying you're goody two shoes?
No, I'm just saying that I just have stone cold emotions.
you see who I talk to every week. You see,
but yeah, but. I mean, I think there are flaws, but I think as a movie, it's not, like, bad to watch. Right. There's nothing, like, glaringly, like, oh, man, this is, like, a big problem.
Right.
Well,
like I said, like, it really is doing everything, I feel, for, like, just selling it. Like, for everything for, like, entertainment's sake, which I think works for, like an audience that it's going for in a way, which is probably why it's, like, super successful. I mean, like, for me, like, it does feel that it is trying too hard a lot of the times, but then again, like, I guess that works for, you know, a lot of people at the same time, you know? I mean, like, if you're going to go in, you go in 100%. I think that's what the movie is definitely doing. And it's got, like, all the right recipes, right? I mean, like, it's got romance. Like, it's not, like, you know, like, legit, like, it's, like, make-believe romance, which is fine, like... Everything, it's got, like, the twists and the turns, and, like, it's, like, the aha moment sort of things, right? It's funny, like, it's got comedy in there, like, it's got all the recipes that you need, and it, like, it works to be, like, an entertaining romance movie.
Yeah.
Like, just to be, like, we talked about, like, it is, like, a pinnacle, like, romance genre, just a cliche, like, it's huge cliche.
I mean, the name of the movie is quite fitting for for the movie, so.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is.
That's, I mean, like, full circle again, like, that's brings me back to, like, the first question, like, it just feels like you name this after, like, the cliche, like, this is a classical romance you know, movie in that way.
Yeah,
so I give it 2 tomatoes.
So what's the next movie that we're gonna watch in the series?
Something even worse. I don't know, I haven't seen this one. What do you think? Is it better or worse?
We'll find out.
We are watching A Moment to Remember, also starring Sung Jae-in.
Son Ye-jin.
Son Ye-jin. I said that.
You and your Korean names.
I definitely said that. This one came out in 2004. So a year after
this. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Directed by John H. Lee. Man, you were making movies back in 2004, Lee?
Is that my name? I don't remember being John.
Like John Doe, but you went John Lee.
John Lee.
But yeah, like I was telling Lee off the air, like, funny story. I kept seeing this movie like around the past couple of days. Like it was, there's like, if you're familiar with Asian Crush, which is like a streaming service, but they also have like a television channel apparently, and it was like playing in the background on my TV, and I caught the attention of my dad. He was like, "This looks interesting. What is this?" And he like went to Guide, and it was like A Moment to Remember. And I was like, that kind of sounds familiar, but I don't know why. He's like mental bookmark. And then I'm doing notes today, and I'm like, usually I'll have like the next movie on my outline. And it's like, I copy pasted A Moment to Remember without a second thought. And then I'm like seeing it back to back, and I'm like, oh, the main actress is in this movie. I'm like, why is that weird to me? And then I'm like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be watching this. This is like what we're doing next week.
Yeah.
It was a dumb moment on my part. It's cool. But hey, you know, it's got to be popular if it's everywhere. You
know, yeah, apparently. It's a lot more heart-wrenching.
It seems more, I mean, 100% more melodramatic.
Yeah.
Like, definitely sad romance territory.
Yes.
Instead of like, I mean, this, see, that's it. Like, this kind of, like, this isn't really sad romance either. This movie was like,
it is. It's sad. They never get together like, in the past.
Maybe more like traumatizing romance.
It's more like a sad romance in the past and like a hopeful one in the present.
Right. Kind of okay. Thing. Fine. Yeah. Mixed with Taeguki. But this one definitely seems like a Debbie Downer for sure. To remember.
Yes.
So.
Sure is.
Seems interesting. Something about, is it the guy or the girl that can't remember?
You'll find out.
That's something like
you'll find out.
Some kind of like,
you're trying to make me spoil the whole movie for you right now. It's like, what's the point of
watching
it?
You're not. You know what? You see this? He's not allowed to do synopsis anymore.
Hey, I think it didn't even pass 5 minutes.
The counter is 3 minutes, not 5 minutes.
Hey, whatever we need to do to get it done.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Okay.
This one had a lot of moving parts. needlessly many moving parts.
We could have omitted it. But yeah, so that'll be next week. And more on the romance train. So see you guys then. Just a quick shout out. We do have a Patreon page. Come and check out for some exclusive episodes. We just wrapped up Drive My Car. So if you're interested in that movie, which is what we have to say, come and check it out. Other than that, you can follow us Twitter, Instagram, Past Subtitles, and tell us what your favorite romance movie is.
Yeah.
And if you like this one or not. Other than that, see you next week. Peace.
Bye.